Father, I just thank you for this beautiful group of people who came out this morning to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. Father, I ask that a special blessing be poured out upon these. These are your leaders, Lord. And Father God, they are learning to lead your flock. And I'm asking, Father God, that an extra abundance of knowledge and wisdom is given to them this morning. As they go forth, Father, to do the work you've called them forth to do, let them do it like your son Jesus did, Father. And Father God, when they can't endure it no longer, let them go to the feet of you like Jesus did, to be strengthened and to be lifted up, and then go forth once again. And Father, we thank you for your word of knowledge this morning. We thank you, Father God, for the abundance of your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are in one of the best times that the church has ever been in. And, you know, as you read through the word, you can see that, first of all, I want to say something. We had a blowout here Tuesday, and we lost a whole lot of equipment in the sound booth. And Brother Brett has been working day and night since Tuesday, getting everything running properly this morning. And he did an excellent job. He has everything wired, everything ready to go. And I really want to honor you for that, Brett. It wouldn't be for Brother Brett, we wouldn't be up and running. We weren't running Wednesday night, and we wouldn't be up and running this morning, but he worked. And I told him, please don't overdo it, but he overdid it, and he got us running. Amen. And I know, Brett, that God was watching you from heaven, and I know he gave you the strength and the wisdom to do the things you had to do to get everything back together again. What did somebody say they saw in front of the church when this happened, Chris? What did you tell me somebody heard when they went by the church today? We lost everything. We need a microphone.
There was a lightning strike that took place on the building about 3 o'clock on Tuesday, and that's what caused the equipment to fail. And he was driving on his way home from work, and it was just raining, and there wasn't thunder or lightning or anything. He said just out of the blue, nowhere, he saw a large flash and a big loud boom that took place.
And so we had a power surge, and we lost our soundboard and everything. But like I say, Brother Brett worked, and he frantically worked and got everything back together. You have to understand that this is what God's telling me to tell you, that you're blooming into the biggest rose that he's ever brought forth on the face of the earth. In other words, you are a group of people that God has never had before, with the wisdom and the knowledge that he's giving you, so that you can go forth and do the mighty works that he's calling you forth to do. Some of you have transitioned into a place in Christ that you never transitioned into before. And in that place of transition, you're going to see the goodness of God working, first of all, on your behalf. Then every place you go, you're going to take the goodness of God with you. Now, there are things out there. This is what God's saying. There are things out there that you have not yet encountered in your walk with him. And so whenever you encounter these things, don't think it a strange thing. And don't let it take you off course. But just keep moving with me, God's speaking. Keep moving with me, and I will show you all things that you ought to be doing at this given time. God is, he really is, this is me now speaking, that was God. God really is moving. His glory has already dropped, and it's getting stronger and stronger. And I'm hearing God said, but you haven't yet heard the big boom. because he said whenever it does fully drop, you're going to hear the boom of heaven and all things are going to change. Amen. So God's been getting us ready to know how to work in this end time dispensation. He's been teaching us about the Holy Spirit. And this morning he wants to teach you about the greater works. And, you know, and I've been saying all the time, I don't know what the greater works is. We can be dense, can't we? And, you know, and so as God was showing me the scriptures and showing me what was going on, and I looked back at 2006, I think it was, and God told us back then what the greater works was. But we didn't even understand that. And, you know, and this is what God's been saying. He's going to show us things in the Word that we'd never seen before. And when I went back there, and I was looking for something else, really, and I said, oh, there's a greater works teaching. Let me see what that says. And same scriptures. Just not really the same things he wrote. But God's been trying to teach the body of Christ for years how to walk into greater works. Now, before I start this, I'm going to tell you this. And you're going to learn this. How to walk into greater works and what the greater works are. And I'm not bragging. I'm telling you something, all right? God allowed me to raise 3 dead people and a dog. I've seen cancers, you know, disappear out of people's bodies. I've seen limbs that weren't supposed to be able to work. I've seen people get just... delivered from all addiction just in a split second. God has allowed me to see. The only thing I haven't done is walk on water. And I never had enough faith to get when I was at that mud puddle to walk on it. And I really, over the years, I've kicked myself. I think God, all I had to do was step in that water and I could have walked on it. You know, I've told the wind to be still. The wind stopped. God just allowed me to walk in all the miracles. And so I'm going to teach you about this morning. And as I was going through this, God said, allowed you to do it so you could teach it to other people. So God's going to allow you now to do this so that you can teach it to other people. Because we all know that what we go through is embedded in us and it's real to us, and therefore we can teach it. I don't care if it's a good times, bad times, indifferent times that God takes us through. There's always a purpose for it. All right, in John 14:12, what did Jesus mean by greater works than these he will do? In John 14:11-14 says, Jesus speaking, believe me, I am in my Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see. Then he says, these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I am doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. Now, God told me right up front, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do. So what did he say here? Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. So if you're going to pray for somebody to be healed, and you do it in Jesus' name, they're going to be healed. Are you understanding this? Now, greater works than these, the first time Jesus used the phrase greater works than these occurred in John 5:20. But let's look at 5:19 first. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. This is why I passed out those sheets about the things that Jesus did, because God told me one time, go into the Word and read everything in red, and whatever Jesus did, you can do too. All right? So I gave that list to you. Now, in verse 19, Jesus said that he could only do what the Father showed him, and he did exactly what he saw the Father do. What the Father did, Jesus did. What Jesus did, we are now going to be doing. All right? John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. Here Jesus said the Father revealed everything he did to him. Then Jesus said the Father would show him greater works. Therefore, when Jesus said they would see greater works than these, the these referred to his healing of the lame man in John 5:2-18. In other words, the Jewish leaders would see great works greater than the healing of the lame man. All right? Then in John 5:21-22, Jesus revealed what he meant by the greater works. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. Now, how did I get to raising the dead? I got in the Word, and I just believed everything that was written in the Word. And so because I had faith, all right, Jesus said it, so we can do it. And so whenever I prayed for the dead, I just believed that Jesus was going to do what he said, because I asked him to raise them, and God raised him from the dead. One man was in the hospital, and he was raised from the dead 3 different times. A nurse came in the room and said, ma'am, you have to leave the room because the man has died. His heart is, you know, done. We're going to disconnect him. She walked over to disconnect him, and it started beating again. And this happened 3 times in a span of 30 days, because I took a 30-day leave from work and went and sat in his hospital room asking God to raise this man from the dead, to heal him. And then when he died, I said, now raise him from the dead. And God did. All right, the man eventually left the hospital and went home. All right. The greater works he will do is raising the dead and judging all people. Later he did raise the dead in Luke 7:12 and John 11:43-44. Therefore, Jesus used the term greater works to refer to works of greater significance than just healing the man. Raising the dead is so much greater. All right? Now, in John 14:12, greater works than these, the second time that Jesus used the phrase greater works than these occurred in John 14:12. And John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. See, first of all, you have to believe in Jesus. Jesus believed in the Father, and he could do whatever, you know, the Father did whatever he asked him to do. Jesus is no different. We're no different than Jesus, and Jesus is no different than you and I. What God did for Jesus, he will do for us when we ask in Jesus' name. All right, he will do also in greater works than these, he will do because I go to the Father. We have already discovered that Jesus used the phrase greater works in John 5:20 to refer to more amazing things that he would do. The greater things to which Jesus referred in this verse is the work of salvation, since he was speaking about things related to salvation in John 14:1-11. Let me stop there. The greater works, before we go any further, is just simply that we will reach more people. You know, God said we're going to go into hospitals and empty out the hospitals. Jesus didn't go into the hospitals and do that. He just held meetings on the ground. But and instead of just raising one person from the dead, God said we're going to raise a multitude from the dead. So the greater works are just simply that we're going to just reach more people than Jesus was able to reach. Are you understanding that? That's just all that the greater works is. Isn't that so simple? And we didn't grab hold of that until the other day when I was walking through my room and God said, do you know what the greater works is? I said, no, but I'd like to know. He said, you're just going to reach more people than my son could. And, you know, and they rode around in donkeys and everything else. So we get in airplanes and we fly. And you know, and whenever we have he said, we're going to have stadium meetings. So that's going to be thousands of people at one time. I know that Jesus fed the crowd of 500, but we're going to be ministering to the thousands, not just the 500s. So it's nothing new under the sun. We just have to totally and completely believe in Jesus Christ and just go out there God said, but it told me, whatever you place your hands to do and what you tell Jesus, whatever you ask me, I'll do. So whatever you ask Jesus to do, he's going to do it. Your faith, and if you're going to find out, it entails your faith. I just knew that I knew that I knew that because the Word of God said I can raise the dead, that if I prayed for a dead person, they would come to life. But the sad part was the people I prayed for to be raised from the dead all told me to quit praying. They wanted to go back to heaven. And so they did. So, you know, God did honor what I said. Then you know the story about the guy that was in the hospital for 30 days. He was healed. He did come home. But what God told him, every time he raised him from the dead, he gave him his instruction to do. He didn't obey the instructions. And one of the instructions was he had to leave his wife because of why his wife was an atheist. And he just couldn't leave her. And I was at work one day and God said, daughter, I have to take him home. I said, no, it was a young man. And I said, no, please. I went to the bathroom and I prayed. And God said, all right, this is the way it's going to be. If he lives, he'll never come to heaven. But if he dies right now, he said, he'll come to heaven with me. He said, I'm going to give you the choice. What do you want me to do with him? This is what God said to me. And I thought about it and I said, Father, you know, I don't want him to go to hell. So God had said, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to take him back home again, is what he told me. And I said, so Father, I said, go ahead and take him because I want him to be in heaven. And we got a phone call 5 o'clock that morning that he died. And he went to heaven. So if you're going, even though you're going to raise the dead, we're going to have, you know, through Jesus Christ, we're going to have the anointing to raise the dead. If they ask you to please let them alone, please quit praying for them. I prayed for one guy and I went home to bury my mother-in-law, and I got a phone call saying that the pastor of the church fell out of a hunting tree, whatever they're called, and he had a heart attack and he died. So I had my husband take me to, we was in Pennsylvania, I said, take me to the highest mountain around here. And he did, and I screamed out to God. I just cried out to God. God, this man is so anointed. He has so much work to do. Please bring him back. Raise him up. And then I went, you know how you just know God heard you. And I said, okay, I'm ready to go back down. The minute I got there, they come running to the car. You have to call Delaware. You have to call Delaware. It's very important. So I called the number that they gave me, and it was the man's son. And he said, Pastor, my father said, please quit praying for him. He wants to stay in heaven, and you keep praying him back. He said, please quit praying him back. So I said, all right, Father, if that's his desire, then whatever. And he died again, and he went into heaven. So please, you know, if you're going to pray for the dead, just don't do it so you can say, I prayed for the dead. All right. Be in the spirit. Be listening to what's going on around about you, and do whatever God is telling you to do. Amen. I prayed for another young lady, and then I was called to her house, and they said, we need you to come and pray with her. So I went up there, and I felt God. He was all in the room. The whole room was just glorified with God. And I says, Father, she's already been with you, hasn't she? He said, yes, and the angels are in the room. And I said to her, I said, you've already been to heaven, and you really don't want to be here, do you? She said, no, I don't. So I prayed with her a little bit, and I left. And then they called us there that night. I think it was that night we went. And God said, she's not even here. You know, they were praying, bring her back. You know, praying for God to bring her back. And God says, she's not here. And he said, so you could, no more praying. Just leave her alone. So we left. Chris and I and my husband left. And then we got a call later on that she sat up and raised her hand up. And then she passed away. But I really know what happened. They kept praying. and they brought her back. And then she put her hand up and praised God. And then she laid back down and died. And but they was upset with me because I left, but God already told me she does not want to be here. So who am I to keep you here? You know, because God was answering my prayer. Who am I to keep you here when the person doesn't want to be here any longer? She'd been in heaven, and heaven was so much better than here. All right. Now when I raised the dog, that was a different story. I hit him on the head of the broom. It was an accident. I was sweeping. And my grandson said to me, he said, you got to pray him back to life, pray him back to life. And I kept praying and praying. I said, honey, I said, I didn't have faith for this. Really, I did not. And I never read where God ever raised the animal. And so he kept saying, I was a deacon in the church. I'm going to tell everybody that you killed my dog, that you hit him on the head. And I said, God, you've got to raise this dog. I said, I don't want to go to church and be embarrassed. And I just kept, but you know, I felt the faith come up in here. Did you ever do that? You feel the faith come up in here? And I kept praying, God, bring him back. God, please bring him back. God, I don't want this child to tell him, but I killed him. And the next thing I know, the dog goes, you know, and his tongue was out. He'd already pooped and peed himself, you know. And then he stood up. But I think it was about a month, I think, that he walked with his head sideways. I think that would teach me a lesson. But that's how the dog, you know, was raised. It was because I just had to get that dog back. That's just all it was, because Jimmy was going to tell everybody what I did. All right? So I know that was desperation, I guess, right? And the dog lived a happy life, and everything went along fine. But then everybody wanted me to raise their animals back to life, and it just didn't work. It just didn't work. And they even quit the church because they wouldn't raise their cats back to life, you know. They said, don't worry about that, because you are going to raise the dead. Your faith is going to be so high that you're just going to raise. Because if we're going to empty out hospital rooms, you know, morgues and everything else. Where am I at? The reason that Jesus said that the disciples would do greater works is that he was going to the Father. After Jesus ascended back to heaven, the disciples or apostles would perform the greater works. In other words, they would just carry on from where Jesus was and just keep going on. And you saw how all those people were healed and saved and everything after the upper room experience. And what was the upper room experience? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you're going to have to be full of the Holy Spirit and living a holy, godly life if you expect to walk in the greater works. That's just the way it's going to work. All right. The rest of the New Testament reveals the apostles did perform signs, wonders, and miracles. And I gave you a list of that. God the Father used them to save many from eternal punishment. And so what are we doing right now? We're doing the harvest, right? The great harvest of souls. This is what we're doing. We are rescuing them from eternal punishment. And it's going to be, God said the houses are going to fill up quickly with people that's going to come in off the streets and be saved. The apostles did see many people become Christians or spiritual new creatures in Christ. And you have a list of those scriptures on those papers. Jesus' phrase, greater works than these, refers to the raising of the dead and saving people from eternal punishment in much greater quantity. You and I cannot save anyone from hell, but God can save the spiritually blind. But he has chosen to use faithful believers to share the gospel. When we share the gospel, then we will see God do greater works than these through us. I want to stop here and talk about Catherine Kuhlman. She was so full of the Holy Spirit. And I watched a couple of her videos that I have again. And all she taught about was the Holy Spirit. That's all she taught about. And then she would just invite the Holy Spirit in. And then that's all she would do. And then people would just start screaming because they were being healed and delivered. And she would just call them up on the stage. She didn't do anything but to teach about the Holy Spirit. She would call them up on the stage and they would give their testimony of what they were healed from or what they were delivered from. And see, but all it was is she was full of the Holy Spirit and really taught about not grieving the Holy Spirit. And because she was so full of the Holy Spirit, God just met her every need. All right, look at Benny Hinn. You know, he would hold all those crusades. See, everybody was giving Benny Hinn and Catherine Kuhlman all the glory for what God was doing. And Benny Hinn, all he was a vessel. All Catherine Kuhlman was a vessel, and all you are is a vessel. All right, so they held the meetings, all right, and people came to the meetings. Now, and then as they preached the word, God was healing the people. In fact, they weren't even, sometimes they didn't even preach the word. God just was at the meeting because he's the one who told Catherine Kuhlman to have the meeting or whoever. And then he just showed up. And Benny Hinn was caught in traffic. You all know that story about him. And he called and he told him, he said, I'm going to be late because I'm caught in traffic. They said, well, don't worry about it. God's already showed up and all kind of miracles are occurring right now without him even being there. All Benny Hinn was a vessel like me that just God just uses to get the groups together and then God just moves. So if you're going out, take the Holy Spirit with you. And then when you walk into the room, who takes over? The Holy Spirit. And so don't you sit there and gloat about what's going on. You just go ahead and let the Holy Spirit have his way. If you want to call the people up for testimonies, which everybody does, they do that. And then, but give God the glory, not you. You know, and Catherine Kuhlman, reading her book, she died because she was jealous that God allowed somebody else to have the same anointing she had. So don't get into jealousy and don't get into competition. You just be you and let God move through you. When I was out on road evangelizing there for quite a few years, I always had to have my piece of paper, but I'd show up and God never touched that piece of paper. He would just have me step down and start moving through the people, and he just started doing all kind of miracles, you know, and prophesying to them. They were being healed. I said to one guy, I said, if I hear a sawmill, you know, saw buzzing and smell sawdust, what does that mean to you? He said, I have a sawmill. And then I said, well, if I hear the word cancer and terminal cancer, what does that mean to you? He said, I have terminal cancer. Then I said, well, if I hear that you're healed in Jesus' name, what does that mean to you? He said, I don't know. Yeah, because they weren't taught in that. But see, that's how God would use me to minister to the people. This man didn't get healed. He didn't think that was God. He just didn't think that was God. And he died of his cancer. But he didn't have to because God told him that day he was healed. But because he wasn't taught in faith and in the Holy Spirit, he had no faith and he just had doubt and unbelief. All right? And he left a family behind. But that did not have to happen. I never once in all the years of a minister for God ever tried to force anybody to believe it was God speaking to them. I don't believe in doing that. You either believe it or you don't. And I can't force it on you. All right. Galatians 6:15 says, can't you see the central issue in all this? It is not what you and I do. This is Paul. Submit to circumcision, reject circumcision. It is what God is doing, and he is creating something totally new, a free life. He said, doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not circumcised, God's creating a new life in you. And this is what God's been doing all the years you've been you know, going to Holy Spirit-filled meetings. God has been taking away all the old, and he's bringing you all the new. He's making you a new creation, just like Jesus, so that you can get out there and minister just like Jesus did and see great signs, wonders, and miracles occur. And Mark 16:14 says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. This is after he died and came back. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because, well, see, and God told me one time, he said, daughter, I was standing right there ministering as I was, yeah. And God said to me, he said, daughter, if you don't get out of your doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick. He said, I'm still the same God today as I was back when I called you into the ministry. And at that point, pastors in this area had me believing what I was doing. Was it really God or what was it? And so don't let that occur to you. If God has called you and he has you out there ministering, then know it's him and just keep right on ministering. Don't worry about what the people are saying. They're just jealous and they're trying to tear you down. Don't allow them to do that. I got to a place, I mean, I walked in all these great signs, wonders, and miracles for years. And these pastors in this area got me to the place where I would pray for people and I would say, is this really going to happen to myself? And that's when the anointing started to wane because I got into doubt and unbelief. And then God said, daughter, you left your first love. Come back to your first love. So then I had to come back to his first love. My first love. And then he said to me 6 months ago, daughter, I'm just waiting on you. And so I was seeking his face. What are you waiting on? He said, for you to get back into total faith. Knowing who you are and what I've called you to do, get back in total faith, knowing that whatever you do, I'll do for you. But you know, whatever I speak, whatever I place my hand to do, he was going to do that thing. And when we had meetings in here, you know, I would just come not knowing what was going to happen. And I would just go up for a set and he'd just start. He would just start moving through the audience, God would. And we had a group of five people sitting back there in that corner. And just out of my mouth came, I want you five people to come stand right there. So they come and stood there and poof, they were on the floor. They stayed out a while. It scared them so bad they never came back again. Something knocked us down, they said. Now, you see, I can't do that. I'm standing then. I was still standing here wondering what was going to happen to these five people. Next thing I knew, they were on the floor. So just things like that. These are signs, wonders, and miracles from God, not you. You're the vessel of honor that God's working through. I'm just hearing Delaware's about ready to break out into one of the greatest miracle areas that there ever has been. And he wants you to get ready. Stay in a loop with him and get ready for him to use you in a mighty way. I'm hearing him say he's going to put Delaware on the map. You know, a Christian, we're going to be on the map as God's moving it in Delaware. Mark 16:14, I read it. Let me finish this. Later, Jesus appeared to 11 as they sat at the table, and Jesus rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world. This is what he's saying to you guys today. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. You can't make them believe, all right? And these signs will follow those who believe. Now, this is what's going to happen to you. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. All right? I know that you guys pray for me. Because you aren't with me 24/7, you don't know how the devil's attacking my body, but all of a sudden it goes away. It's totally gone. I'm healed of it, and I know that somebody's been praying. And sometimes God will show me the face of the person that's praying, and some of you are praying together at the same time. You're not with each other, but together you're praying, and God heals me. So it does work. So then after the Lord had spoken to the disciples, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. You see that? They went out and preached, and the Lord worked with them with accompanying signs. You know, they used to say to me, why do you always, God would move from 7 o'clock to 10 and then I'd give a sermon. Why do you always have to preach word? I said, I don't know. I just had to give this word. You know, it doesn't matter if you give it before or after, you know. But God, they said, well, God's already moved. God's already done great money things. But guess what? The people that were here sat through the teaching. Even though God did all the great and wonderful things, they sat through the teaching. Now, I'm not saying that you have to do a teaching. I am not. And I don't know if I'll be doing teachings. But I'm just letting you know that's how it was. All right, Jesus didn't only perform miracles to show that he is God, but also to set an example for you and I. He healed the sick in order to break the chain of suffering over people's lives and bring the abundant life to them. His mission to bring healing and restoration to mankind continues today. And right now, guys, as I'm just hearing this from God, there's only a handful of people that have that much faith that he can use. Are you one of those handful? Do you really have enough faith to go ahead and know when you walk into a store, God's going to touch somebody's life? I used to walk into places, they would say, who walked into the room? They look right past me because they wouldn't figure it'd be me, you know. The Holy Spirit walked in the room is what happened. So you have to be so full of the Holy Spirit. When you walk in the room, everybody pays attention to the Holy Spirit, not to you. And then whenever you do that, then God can start working and doing the things he wants to do to whoever's in that room. And, you know, one time I was walking in my home, and I went out of my bedroom, started walking down the hallway, and there was a young lady visiting, and she walked by me. She had just been in a terrible truck accident, and her legs were all twisted, and the doctors told me you'll never walk with straight legs ever again. And I walked past her, and all of a sudden I turned around and went back, and I called her by name, and I bent down, and I didn't touch her leg. I just went like this down both sides of her legs, didn't say a word. And I got up and went downstairs, and I heard her scream, and I come up. Her legs were totally strained. And see, God didn't say anything to me, but it was him that turned me around. I know, because I was headed downstairs, and I didn't touch her. I just went like this. You know, some people think you have to touchy, 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 touchy. You don't have to do that. You know, and I never prayed, but she's walking straight today. Amen. So, all right. So, you know, I have this junk on my face, and at one time I never had it in a home. There was a lady came in, and I never seen her before, but she had cancer all over her face. I didn't know what it was though, at the time, and she was sitting there, and I was preaching. And all of a sudden, I looked at her, and her face was totally clear. And she went, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. And then she stood up and gave the testimony that she had cancer on her face, and the doctor told her that it was ready to go into her brain, and she was going to die. Nobody went to her and prayed for her. Nobody touched her. The Holy Spirit was in the room, and God just healed her. But you have to be living a holy life so you can carry the Holy Spirit with you, and then God can work through you. There's too many leaders and preachers out there going out and doing the works of the Father and also doing the works for the devil. It does not work. We all know that the devil can also heal, though. You have to know that. You know, he'll keep you deceived so he can take you straight to hell and ruin the lives that you're ministering to. You don't know how often I say, God, please don't ever let the enemy use me in any way, shape, or form. That's, you know, one of the things that I'm really, you know, really don't want ever to happen. I don't want to have the enemy ever be able to use me to mess somebody else up. All right, where am I at here? He gave the clear instruction to all who believe in him to heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. And that's in Luke 10, 1 verse 9. The Lord now chose 70 other disciples, you know, other than the 12, and sent them on ahead, you know, of himself in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit later. And I think this is where the Mormons get this. They send their men out two by two. All right, he sent to all the towns and villages he planned to visit later. He sent somebody ahead of himself. These were his instructions to them. Plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers to help you, for the harvest is so plentiful and the workers so few. All right, you want to pray? Pray for that. Pray that God brings in more harvesters. Go now and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you or a beggar's bag or even an extra pair of shoes, and don't waste time along the way. Whenever you enter a home, give it your blessing. If it is worthy of the blessing will stand. If not, the blessing will return to you. When you enter a village, don't shift around from home to home, but stay in one place, eating and drinking without question whatever is set before you. And don't hesitate to accept hospitality, for the workman is worthy of his wages. If a town welcomes you, follow these two rules. Number one, eat whatever is set before you. And number two, heal the sick. And as you heal them, say the kingdom of God is very near you now. Same instruction as to you and I. I don't know if I want to sometimes eat what everybody says before me. I bet at that time they were having an argument about what you should and should not eat. All right, the Holy Spirit does miracles through us. The key to experiencing miracles of Jesus today is living in submission to the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said he could do not one miracle without the Spirit of God. All right? This was Jesus. He could not do one miracle without the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul said he operated in the power of the Spirit. This is what the Apostle Paul said about what he was doing. He operated in the power of the Spirit. So everything I said about the Holy Spirit, you see it right here. Jesus said it. Apostle Paul said it. You have to have the Holy Spirit in all of his glory. Every person in the Bible who was used by God in a mighty way was a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Moses, Elijah, David, Gideon, and so on. They all had a powerful encounter with the Spirit of God and began to live under his guidance. I encourage you to surrender your heart and your life again and again to the Spirit of God. Many Christians have been taught that miracles don't occur anymore since we have the Bible. They do teach that, you know. But it is the Bible that teaches us clearly that God still does miracles in our midst through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those who say that God doesn't do miracles anymore also do not believe in the Holy Spirit. All right? And you don't have to be speaking in tongues 24/7 in order for God to perform miracles through you or to prove that the Holy Spirit is with you. Some people can speak in tongues all the time. I can only speak in tongues when I'm hit by God to do so. I can't, you know, I've tried sitting down just like Christopher does or Catherine does, you know, and speak in tongues. It doesn't work for me. But when the Spirit of God hits me, I speak in tongues. It just totally amazes me. So you don't force that, you know, just say God would, you know, the Bible says I could speak in tongues and I want to speak in tongues. When you want me to, I will. You know, we get too caught up in dumb stuff. You know, it's either God or it isn't God. Now, and it really, whenever God uses me to speak in tongues, he usually does a miracle. I have noticed that. He touches people in a certain way. All right. I'd rather have that than be able to sit down and speak in tongues at will. You know, 24/7 is what I'm saying. I'd rather have it where God just uses me and then performs a miracle. All right, miracles, I mean, that's me. You do what you want to do, all right? Miracles are the hallmark of a true servant of Jesus Christ who has been appointed and sent by him and not by men. That's why the Apostle Paul said that he was a true apostle because the Lord did miracles through him. I was standing right there one day, and I was ministering, and God healed somebody, and God said to me, daughter, you are an apostle. Don't ever forget that. And then, you know, here I read where Paul said he was a true apostle because he was doing miracles. All right. You guys, listen to this, you leaders, you pastors. Listen to this. Check yourself out. Are you really lined up with what God is saying so that he can work with you for signs, wonders, and miracles? 2 Corinthians 12:12, I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. All right. And John 20:21 said, he spoke to them again and said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and told them, receive the Holy Spirit. You know how God would say, don't you feel the wind? Don't you feel the wind? The wind is the Holy Spirit. And I really, I know, and I've got the Holy Spirit on me right now, that when he said, don't you feel the wind? The Holy Spirit was breathing on us. And, you know, and he was filling us with himself so he could, so the the time that we're in right now, so that God could use us for the Holy Spirit. Acts 14:3 says, "Nevertheless, they, Paul and Silas, stayed there a long time, preaching boldly, and the Lord proved their message was from him by giving them power to do great miracles." You see this? And you know, people won't be able to put you down, because God is going to use you to do signs, wonders, and miracles. And they can't deny that. You know, they can't deny that. In Acts 44:29 says, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats and grant to your servants great boldness in their preaching. And send your healing power, and may miracles and wonders be done by the name of your holy servant Jesus." After the prayer, this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and boldly preached God's message. Now, do you really want to be filled so full of the Holy Spirit that the building shakes when you're walking in? Amen? Come on. And that no matter where you go, signs, wonders, and miracles are going to follow you. You don't have to do nothing, like God said, just be. See, we always think we need to make ourselves known. No, just go and be. And then let God do what he needs to do through you. And John 21:24 says, "I am that disciple. I saw," this is Peter, "I saw these events and have recorded them here. And we all know that my account of these things is accurate. And I suppose that if all the other events in Jesus' life were written, the whole world could hardly contain the books." And that's in John 21:24-25. I was doing some things when I was first called on the scene by God. But I was doing some things, and people, "That isn't God. That's not a word. We never heard of that." And that's the first time I was introduced to that scripture. God gave me that scripture. Everything Jesus did is not recorded. Remember that. So if Jesus is, I called somebody up front to pray for them, and God said, "Sock them in the stomach." Now, you don't see that anywhere in the Word, do you? No. And I thought, that can't be God. I can't hit this person in the stomach. Well, the person I was ministering to was a prophet. She was my praise and worship leader, really. And she said to me, she said, "Why didn't you hit me in the stomach when God told you to? Because I would have been totally delivered. Now I'm still bound." You see that? And then later on, I can't remember his name now. He wrote a book where three older ladies had come up front where they had their hair poofed up and had the straight pins in them and everything. And God said to them, "Shake them as hard as you can shake them." And he said, "I can't do that." And God said, "Shake them as hard as you can shake them," because they were dignified women of the community. So he just shook them as hard as he could shake them. You know, their pins went out of their hair, and their hair fell down, and they went out in the spirit. And afterwards, they just testified about they were free. They got free. But if he wouldn't have shook them, like I didn't hit the girl, they would never have been free. They'd have still left there bound as they were when they came in. Now, one time I held a meeting here, and I called it a miracle meeting. Come and see God perform miracles. And the place was packed out. It was a couple of years ago. And I said to this, the one guy shook my hand, and I said, "Well, thank you for coming out." He said, "Well, if anybody is bold enough to put a message out there saying, come watch signs, wonders, and miracles, I just have to go and see what goes on." Well, I didn't see anything go on that night. But see, that got people's curiosity. And God told me to do it, or wouldn't have done. He had to do something that night, because I only do what he tells me to do. And everybody was on a high that night. You know, it was just there was joy in the house. It was just great. It was truly packed out. And but anyhow, God did whatever he did. He did undercover because I didn't see it. But I was obedient to God, but I know God touched more than one person's life that night. So just do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. And you're just there. And, you know, you don't know what you did to me by this. I didn't know it's Pastor's Appreciation Day. But I just had a bad time last night sitting, crying in my beer, as they say. You know, I was just feeling sorry for myself because a lot of things are going on. And I said, "God, I know that you're there and you love me, but I would like to have a little bit of flesh love me. So you little bit of flesh love me today. And I want to thank you for it. I really do want to thank you. I know I'm loved I know I'm loved, but believe me, whenever you get your leader and you're out there, it's lonely. It's lonely because you have to sort of keep to yourself if you're going to have the anointing of God continually flowing through you. And, you know, and last night when I was sitting there before God and crying, and God said, daughter, have you forgot how my son suffered? Do you know why he came to the mountain? He was lonely. He had nobody that understood him, you know. And, you know, whenever you're on the top, you know, leader or pastor, you're supposed to be this rock, right? You're supposed to be the tower that others can run into. So if they see you bawling and squalling, they say, you know, so I'm just telling on myself because I did do that last night. I just had too many pressures all of a sudden, and I guess I caved into it. I don't know what it did. So I'm saying you might cave into it every now and then. And you might sit in your little study all alone and just crying out. I don't care if you're man or woman, and you're just crying out to God. That's fine to do that. And I'm quite sure Jesus went to God and cried too. Because his disciples were a mess. God told me one time, you know, I was fussing about you sheep. And God said, I want you to study about what kind of disciples Jesus had, well, my son. Guess what? He had the same problem. So you're going to have the same problem. Your sheep are not always going to be what you want them to be. But they're still your sheep. And God didn't stick you in with a bunch of sheep, you know, just to be destroyed by the sheep. He put you there to stay a strong tower to bring those sheep up where they should be. Amen. And for all you know, the devil's testing you to the very core of your being, letting you see just how strong you are not, and letting you see how much you really need Jesus. All right? So God, you know, he wanted me to teach us tonight, this morning, but God wants you to know, every one of you in here is a leader or a pastor or a teacher, evangelist, whatever you are. God is getting ready to drop all of heaven upon you, and he's going to send you forth. You've studied and studied. You've done the things God's called you for to do, and you know, you went to your little hole and cried many times. This is too hard, Lord. I can't do this. And God said, yes, you can. He never calls a weakling into his ministry. He doesn't. And this is another thing. I said, God, everybody you send to me is strong. And they're bullheaded. They're just like me. And I said, it's like we bang heads. He says, you keep banging. He said, everything is working out the way I want it to work out. So whenever you're out there leading people, he's going to send other strong people to you. Because he can't send weaklings out there to minister to weaklings. He needs you to be strong. Quit fussing if they're as strong as you are. Just thank God that he's given you strength to minister to them. Right? It all comes out in the wash. It really does. It all comes out in the wash. All you have to do is just go ahead and follow God. And following God right now is very hard. All the pressures out there in the earth are pushing on you constantly. It's very hard to follow God right now and stay true to yourself. You know, and to keep the anointing going. You have to constantly work at keeping that anointing because the devil's constantly working to take the anointing away from you. You have to trust God every second of every day. And if you think you have obtained that God's going to let you see you haven't. He's going to put something in your life to get your attention, to let you see you're not as strong as you thought you were. All right? But that doesn't mean you can't minister for God, but he just has to get all that pride out of you. And he has to get you to that place where the enemy, just like he did Jesus. You know, he let Jesus go through 40 days out in the wilderness, right? And when the 40 days was done, Jesus is ready to go. Now, some of you have been spending 40 years on the backside of the desert. And God said, you're ready to go. But are you ready to go? This is a question I want you to think about. Am I ready to go? Am I truly ready to go out there and do the greater works? You know, go in the highways and the byways or whatever. Am I really ready for God to say to me, I want you to advertise you're going to hold a miracle meeting and get the biggest auditorium you can find, and, you know, and set that meeting all up, believing that God's going to show up. Do you know why a lot of churches are going to fold? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, and the pastors are not listening to God's voice, and therefore God's work is not being done. I'm sorry, guys. You guys get together and you talk about all these different things you want to do, but have you put God in it? I talked to somebody one time who, they were doing great things. They really were. And I said, and God said, ask him if I'm in this. So I said to him, I said, is God in what you're doing? Well, why wouldn't God be pleased if I'm building a big building for him and building this for him and building that for him? And God said, ask him again, am I in this? And so I asked him again. He said, well, why would God be upset? He says, I forgot what he said, but anyhow, it fell. It didn't last. God was trying to tell him, son, I don't care if you're building me a great big church. That's not what I want you to do. You know, I don't care if you're building a great big playground for kids to come and play on. That's not what I ask you to do. This is what you want to do because you think it's a good thing. Please, everything you do, make sure God is telling you to do it, or it's going to fall through. It's really going to fall through, and you're going to be sitting there with messed up. And I really think that if more leaders would really seek God's face and get God's direction, we would have more things happen for the kingdom of heaven than what we do. You know, right now somebody's asking me something, and I said, I've got to pray about this. Because if God's not in it, then it's not going to go anywhere. How about you? Is God really in everything that you're thinking about doing? Very important. Is God in this thing? Have you sought God's face first? Like I said, there are a lot of you in here, your leaders and your pastors, and God's getting ready to use you. And right now what he's doing, I'm just hearing him say he's fine-tuning each one of us. He's fine-tuning us to the place that the enemy won't have any place in us whatsoever. You know, and God's told me my family's concerned about my health, and I said, this is what I'm standing on. My body's saying one thing, but God said to me, I'm going to heal you, going to return your youth, and you're going to go out there and do what I've called you for to do. No matter what my body says to me, I stand on that. Devil, this is what God said to me. And I have to stand on that, or I wouldn't be sitting here today, and that's the truth. So what is it in your life that the enemy's bombarding you with day in and day out? And what has God said to you about it? I don't care what you see. I don't care what's going on. What does God say? And then stand on what God said. And I've watched many of the regulars in here. God has spoken words over their lives, and they've been in a terrible mess, and God's spoken the word over their life just to be. And so they learned to be. You know, just be still and know that God is God. And I'm watching their lives turn totally around. I'm watching everything God's ever promised them come to pass. But somebody has to be there to encourage you along the way. Are you an encourager? You know, if you're a leader, are you an encourager? Or do you want to be Mr. Big? And then you want to keep these little puppets in front of you. Too many churches are full of puppets. And God tells us to go out and make disciples. So if you've come into this church more than one time, it's because God wants you to be a disciple. He's calling you for it to be a leader, a pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever. And he's training you how to do that and to be a conqueror. And you're going to have a lot of people following you. Are they following you or are they following Jesus? So, you know, I said, follow you. You should be full of Jesus, that they're following Jesus. That Jesus in you, okay? Well, Father, I truly do thank you for this teaching. And I watched the faces. Each true leader in your Father God, I know who they are. They listen very intently. And they have determined in their heart that they want to be full of your Holy Spirit and your wisdom. I'm asking right now, Father God, to touch each one of these people. Change them, Father God. Rearrange them. And bring them forth in your might and in your power. And God, and whenever I say change and rearrange, God changes and rearranges me every day. Because every day is a new day. But he's saying he wants you who truly, truly, truly want to be used by him with the Holy Spirit taking you over. He wants you to come forward today and he's going to seal you. And the Holy Spirit will remain with you. And when he sends you forth, great signs, wonders, and miracles will follow you wherever you go. So the altar's open for that right now.